is the 429th episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast, the podcast from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that gives you everything you need to know about the Atlanta Falcons. I'm D. Orlando Ledbetter, the Falcons beat reporter from the AJC, here at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium after the stunning 31-28 loss by the Atlanta Falcons to the Minnesota Vikings and backup quarterback Joshua Dobbs. Joshua Dobbs came into the game after Jaren Hill went out with a concussion and proceeded to lead the Vikings back to victory. You all know who he is. Joshua played at Alpharetta High and has been in the league for 6 years. He also went to Tennessee and played for the Vols in the SEC. After that, he was drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers in the fourth round of the 2017 draft. But he's been a journeyman in the league. But he came in here today and took it to the Falcons, beating them 31-28 with a touchdown pass with 22 seconds to go to Brandon Powell to lift the Vikings to the 31-28 victory. If you are listening to us for the first time, please make sure to follow the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Bowtie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.
Hip-hop is a product of black people. It's a product of black song and celebration.
The Atlanta Journal-Constitution presents
hip-hop's most pulled elements are pulled from the South.
A Southern hip-hop story.
We always go back to that moment of the Source Awards.
Everybody wants your rhythm, but they don't want your blues.
The biggest names in hip-hop.
Atlanta is still the mecca for hip-hop.
50 years.
No one can deny.
One film.
The power of the South now.
The South got something to say. Streaming now at AJC.com/hip-hop.
All right, the Falcons elected to go with Taylor Heinicke this week at the starting quarterback position, and things didn't go so well. You know, he did drive him down and take the lead late. They got the lead 28-24 on a 5-yard Tyler Algier run into the end zone, but the defense couldn't hold back Dobbs, who wouldn't be denied today. Here's Arthur Smith on Taylor Heinicke's play.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, he did turn the ball over, but I thought he operated on third down pretty well. So, you know, we'll obviously huddle up and evaluate everything, but, you know, definitely he gave us some chances. He did make some plays on third down. But the penalty, I mean, excuse me, although we did have a couple penalties, but turnovers will always hurt you. You know, we didn't take it full advantage of the ones we got. And that was a big swing. You know, after the John Hood touchdown, come back, we fumbled, led to their touchdown drive, and then we came back, and that was a one pick.
Yeah, no doubt the two turnovers led to 11 points, allowed the Vikings to get out of the hole and start believing. They got them to lead 24-21, and then, you know, at that point, you know, everybody on that team, Joshua Dobbs might have been new to the team, but those guys they won 11 one-score games last year. That was our X factor in our game day package coming into the game. That, hey, these guys are one-score wonders, and once they're in a game with even, you know, it was Kirk Cousins doing it, but and Justin Jefferson, but still, you know, the rest of those guys know how to win one-score games, and they showed it again today. Here, Arthur Smith explains the goal line plays after the fumble and the Jonnu Smith jet sweep.
We're in goal line, and so, you know, that's back then we were trying to get outside, and we didn't. So, yeah, we had the procedure, different play call there. We got the procedure penalty, moved us back. I believe that got us down to about the one. And then just trying to get outside. You know, it's a play that he scored on before in the past, so it wasn't like a giant leap of faith, obviously, that we didn't get it done, but that was the thought, trying to get outside because they moved their goal line front. They stunted the front, try to bully you up. It's a thing that they've done. We didn't get outside. So the next one, same thing. We tried to take advantage and get Tyler to punch it in, and it didn't happen. So, you know, obviously got to be better there.
Yeah, they got outfoxed. I'll translate for y'all. They got outfoxed by Brian Flores, the Minnesota defensive coordinator. Y'all flanked him twice down there. So that's the translation there. He was ready for a jet sweep, and then he dropped Tyler Allgeier for a four-yard loss on the power play. So that's what happened there. You on the 1 yard line, get the yard. It don't have to be fancy. I don't want to see a jet sweep down there. I mean, if you can't push him back for 1 yard, you know, when you need it, you know, that says a little bit there. So I'm sick of the shotguns and jet sweeps and empty formations. You know, line up, play football. I don't care if it's a tush push, quarterback sneak, fullback dive, powered eye formation. Get the yard. Okay, well, I'm getting fired up. We got a lot more to go here. Arthur Smith, here's what he says about not playing in sync in offense, defense, and special teams.
I mean, we got to play in sync. You know, that's the thing. You have your opportunities, and we didn't take advantage of, you know, the defense made some plays. We got some turnovers, and, we had held to three. So then, you know, you get in a rhythm, and then, unfortunately, the turnovers and they extended plays, and give Dobbs credit. He made some big time plays with his feet, and so we just never played in sync, and you get the lead. And obviously we didn't get it done. But yeah, I mean, that would be the biggest thing, is us playing in sync. You know, there's been some times it's been good in one phase, and we obviously need to do that to get back in the win column.
All right, that's the old complimentary football. They didn't do it today. They got turnovers. Didn't score, and special teams was a little bit better. But moving forward, yeah, they got to get and play that complimentary football. Here's Arthur Smith when asked if he considered shifting the play calling duties. I don't know who he was shifted to, but Dave Ragone's the offensive coordinator. So that would be the person. But here's what he said about shifting the play calling duties.
Look, every staff I've been on, you do whatever you can to win. I mean, it's just how you set things up. You know, you collaborate. Their yards are up. I mean, I know these are natural questions that come in the cycle. And when you don't win, I mean, you gotta stand in there and look at it. And it's not an ego thing. It's we'll always do what's best for our team. Like I said, yards are up. Moving the yard, great, but obviously we're not scoring more points than the other team. So you look at everything, and that's on every phase.
All right, one thing I looked at was I was like, hey, it's 24-21. Is it time to bring Reuter off the bench? And that wasn't really popular with my Twitter folks. Don't care at this point. I wasn't going to drink today. After one INT, run the ball with power. At this point, Reuter's put Reuter in. Let him finish the season. The results should determine whether he and AS keep their jobs. Keep Fontenot. Give him a chance to pick the next coach and quarterback. All right. Falcon fans are hot. We'll have some more of that for you later. Didn't sound like he was going to shift the play calling duties, but they'll talk about everything. When you're 4-5, that's what happens. Here's what Arthur Smith says. You know, says we are what we are, 4-5. Still in the old Bill Parcells line.
I don't think anything's easy in this league, but we certainly had our opportunity to win this one. That would absolutely be fair. So, yeah, it's disappointing, and I felt that way, you know, most of our losses. I mean, we are what we are, right? We're 4-5. We've got 8 games left, and we got to do something about it. You know, otherwise you're going to keep coming up here, and it's not going to be what you want.
All right, you know, this is the problem. The problem is they lost to Washington and Tennessee, okay? They wasn't supposed to lose those two. They were supposed to lose to Minnesota. Minnesota was 13-4 last year. But you was thinking Kirk Cousins was coming in here and not Joshua Dobbs. So he was like, okay, you can get that Washington game back. And, you know, the Jets, they don't have Aaron Rodgers, so maybe you can get that game back later. Get the Tennessee game back and go on humming along here. But now you know, you have a major setback to a backup quarterback where your defense gives up, you know, a game-winning drive. You turn the ball over, and you don't really score a lot of points again there. So the Falcons are at a crossroads here with the one game to go before the bye week, going into a 1-8 Arizona, who was pounded today 27-0 by the Cleveland Browns. Okay, here is Taylor Heinicke on how to respond to this loss.
This week's going to test our character. You know, obviously the bye week is right around the corner. And you know, we've lost, what, two or three in a row now?
Three out of four.
So, you know, we really got to come together and try and get this win, get back to 500, go in the bye week 500, and then we have a, what, eight-game skid there to try and take this division. So, you know, it's right there for us. We just got to clean some things up. But we got to go out there and do it.
All right. Seven games left. You have seven games to go here. No Tampa Bay loss. I'm trying to get caught up on the scores. Saints won, so they're in first place. So you'll be chasing them right now. Saints beat the Bears. Here is Taylor Heinicke on the missed turnover opportunities in the first half.
Oh, I mean, we're moving the ball really well, and the defense did a good job getting turnovers, giving us short fields, and we just couldn't punch it in. And it's been a reoccurring theme throughout this year, and we've been working really hard at it. We just got to work a little harder, try and find out what it is. But I felt we moved the ball pretty well the whole game. That last drive there was awesome, but you know, I think the first half, not punching it in at least one of those times was tough.
Yeah, the 1 yard line, I gotta have that one. I'm sorry, I just, you know, gotta I don't know. You saw Tennessee put Jeffrey Simmons in the backfield. I don't know, put Oyemata, put Grady. Well, Grady's hurt, but you know what I mean. Get somebody back there and get the yard, please. It's not that hard. Here is Taylor. I'm not worried if he's gonna be the starter next week against the Cardinals.
Yeah, I'm not really thinking about that right now. Still pretty pissed off about the loss. So, you know, we'll come in tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, see what happens. But, you know, I'm just kind of thinking about the game still.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm still thinking about it, too. And I'm like, man, Woody Hayes is somewhere kicking a can down the street, because he would have gotten a full house and gave that ball to Pete Johnson. They'd have knocked the linebacker into next week and got that yard. All right, here is defensive back Jeff Okuda on what needs to change the second half of the season.
Just doing the things that we talk about throughout the week, you know, all our objectives. You know, we set about three objectives every single week of what we need to do in order to win. And I think that just holding ourselves to a higher standard and just being able to be accountable, take the criticism and respond in a positive way.
Yeah, no doubt. Take the criticism and respond in a positive way. Here is Okuda on the missed tackles by the unit.
I mean, I think I don't know how many tackles we missed today, but it can't hurt. Just getting back to the basics, tackling guys were in a position to make the play, and I think that stops a lot of leaky yardage.
Yeah, they did a good job of shutting down the run. You know, other than Joshua Dobbs on his carry, so the numbers look pretty good. But they did a good job on Madison and Cam Akers, who is out for – who has an Achilles injury they are afraid of. Coach Kevin O'Connell got up and gave a full post-game injury report for the Minnesota Vikings. It's online on AJC.com. Opening statement, full injury report, then went on to question. So got a couple guys with concussions. KJ Osborne, the one that went off on the stretcher, and the big one was Akers and the Achilles. So here is Jeff again on needing to stop the skid. The Falcons haven't been able to get on a roll at all here over the first nine games of the season.
I think it's really important, because I know once you get to the second half of the season, every single game is important, and you have to treat every single game essentially like it's a playoff game, because you don't want to play catch up and play the scenario game at the end of the season. You want to put yourself in a favorable position earlier on so that you know, you're able to just go out there and play and not have to think about all the different outcomes that could happen with other teams.
Yeah, no doubt. You're in that position where you can win. The Saints have one game up on you. They are 5-4. Tampa Bay's behind you. They are 3-5. And then Carolina's trailing with just one win. So here is Bijan Robinson on how to respond to back-to-back losses.
I mean, it's just, it's like with everything. I mean, obviously, you know, you don't want to lose games and lose, you know, how we lost today or, you know, some of the games that we lost. But, you know, I think for us, like, you know, we can't get in this hole of, all right, you know, we lost. So, you know, what do we do now? Like, we can't ask ourselves that. You know, we got to tell ourselves, like, this is what we're going to do and this is how we're going to do it. And, you know, we're going to keep our faith as high as we can. And, you know, if we think like that, then I think we'll be, you know, perfectly fine. And I know we have a lot of football left, but, you know, we got to start now so we can have a momentum for the success that we want later on.
All right, yep. And here is Bijan on how to stop the turnovers. Removing Desmond Ridder didn't stop them. They had two more today.
Yeah, man, I mean, shoot, one of those were on me. And, you know, for me, like I was saying earlier, you know, I got to know as being a guy that just got in this lead that, you know, dude, if I'm in open space, like, dudes are coming for the ball. Like, that's what they're going to do. So I need to start working on that right now. And just stop that from happening. And then obviously, you know, we just want to, you know, get the ball in the best position. Obviously, it was hard to control some of those situations and the mental mistakes as well for offense. But I think that we'll just look at it at the film and get back right.
And you know, this was a bad loss. They can stop it. Nobody's running away in the NFC South. So I mean, you can turn the corner here and get moving. But you need to get moving as soon as possible now. You know, you got one in an 8 team. You got to beat them, go into break. Then showdown in New Orleans, and you're back in first place. Then you got 6 games after that. So the all's not lost today, but this is the type of loss that could lead to that spiraling feeling. And here's what Bijan had to say on if the season is spiraling.
It's not spiral. You know, for me, I don't believe in none of that. I just know that, you know, you just got to go back to work hard and, you know, make the best decisions possible so we can get the best results and the win. But, you know, this is not spiraling at all.
All right. This is the Bowtie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
The AJC's trusted veteran political voices, Greg Bluestein, Patricia Murphy, Tia Mitchell, and Bill Nigut, are the essential source for Georgia politics. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Politically Georgia. Sign up for the newsletter, download the podcast, subscribe to the AJC.
I'm Ernie Suggs.
And I'm Ned Ravone. Atlanta has been known as the Black Mecca for so many years, but that means something different to everybody.
It means everything to me. Every day I wake up, I learn something new.
Well, you all can learn something new by subscribing to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's new newsletter called Unapologetically ATL. It's all about the people, the events, and the entertainment happening in Metro Atlanta that Black people might want to know about.
So subscribe today at www.ajc.com/unapologeticallyATL.
All right, we're back here at the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. And before we keep it moving here, I want to share with you an offer. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution has a special offer for our podcast listeners. If you subscribe today, you can get 3 months of unlimited digital access for just 99 cents. That's all of our sports coverage, politics, breaking news, investigations, food and dining, and so much more on AJC.com. Plus, you have access to our e-paper and our assortment of newsletters. So join our community by going to subscribe.ajc.com/podcast. That's subscribe.ajc.com/podcast. So you always know what's really going on. All right, so let's keep it moving here at the Bowtie Chronicles podcast so you really know what's going on with these Atlanta Falcons. I want to look at some of the stats here. He mentioned third down, so let's get to that. He moved it on third down. You know, the turnovers did go away. Let's look at that real quick. Third down efficiency. The Falcons were 10 of 18. Okay, yeah, he's going to stay with that. 55.6. Prop, they gave up 7 of 16 for 43-8 to the backup quarterback who didn't really know the plays. But 10 of 18, yeah, okay. I see what he was saying there. Go back up and look at the rushing because I thought they would lean on Bijan Robinson and Tyler Algier today and just run the ball, but they didn't do that. But Bijan had 11 for 51, Algier 12 for 39 and a touchdown, and Heinicke had 3 for 20. Big 13-yard scramble in that drive to pick up the first down. That was then he just dove instead of sliding. That was pretty hot. And then Algier just pounded it on in from 35 out. Patterson's not giving you much. 1 for 0. Jonnu had a rush for 0 on the jet sweep. Okay, so if you do the running backs, it's just 23 for 90. So that's right under, you know, it's not 4 yards a pop. So, Jonnu was the leading receiver. He took that screen 60 yards. He's trying to make a play. 5 for 100 for him. 1 touchdown. Kyle Pitts, everybody was thinking, hey, he might get the ball. Tyler's going to get him the ball. 5 targets, 4 catches, 56. Cordarrelle Hodge had 3 for 60, a 31-yarder that they wasted. Only got a field goal out of that. They couldn't stack plays. They'll get one play, then they'll get bogged down. So when you're switching quarterbacks, that's, I guess, part of the disjointed nature of it. But overall, he was 21 of 38. Let me get to that line. 268 yards. And this is Taylor Heinicke. 268, 60-yard touchdown, 1 interception, 1 touchdown, 1 sack. That was good. 75.3. Okay, now Joshua Dobbs didn't do a lot of passing here. And Hall was 6 of 5 for 78 before he got knocked out of the game. But overall, the Vikings were 25 of 36 for 236. Dobbs was 20 of 30 for 158, 2 touchdowns, and a 101.8. Certainly solid football. TJ Hockenson was a beast, 7 catches for 69. Jordan Addison, 5 for 52. And then Brandon Pyle, the former kickoff returner here, had 2 for 19, 1 for 9. The 6-yard touchdown grab was the big one. And then Alexander Mattison had a touchdown catch for the Vikings also. Now, the formula was, hey, stop the run, make a one-dimensional, make the backup quarterback beat you. Okay, the backup quarterback went out, third string came in. They did stop the run if you count the running back yards. Akers was 8 for 25, 3.1, and then Madison was 16 for 44, which is 2.8. You know, granted, they only averaged 73 yards coming in here, and they were 31st in the league. So the big pop here was the 7 for 66 that Joshua Dobbs got when he got loose on some backside bootlegs. He was asking people, hey, what's on the backside? What's on the backside? And, you know, he kind of was figuring out there's room on the backside of every play. And he ended up with some big runs out the back door, including one on fourth down in the fourth quarter where the Falcons were trying to wrap up the game. He had a big 22-yard run. So that's how they got beat today. Let's just look at a couple more notes. I'm going to move on to some comments. We'll wrap it up and get on out of here. Jonnu Smith was the sixth captain today. We gave you Taylor Heinicke. Bijan was 11 for 51. The record, these yards of nowhere and losses, records that, they're not turning into wins. So he's got 715 yards from scrimmage, second fastest player to 700 yards from scrimmage in team history behind William Andrews, who did it in 8 games. Boy, you're 4-5. So the yards are good, but, they're not leading to victories. And, you need a 1-yarder. I mean, I don't know. You could fly people over the top if you can't push them around anymore. I don't know. I guess people stopped doing that, but you got to get the yard. Algier was 39 yards on 12 carries. Algiers' 5-yard touchdown run. That was the 13-play 79. That was the only drive where they looked like a team that, okay, this is a team going places. Okay, they put together a 13-yard drive to retake the lead. You got to play with that urgency all the time. You can't wait till you get down to play like that. Just come out the gate playing like that, not punching people in the mouth. You could have, you know, this game had no business being in the balance, you know, with the turnovers the Falcons had. You know, the 1-yard things, I'm probably going to say that, probably said it already 20 times, but that just they had a chance to blow them out and they didn't do it. And that, you know, that shows a lot about a team when, you know, can you go for a jugular? They had a shot and didn't do it. That was a dynamite 60-yard touchdown run by Jonnu. We had a big story on him on Saturday. So Google that, Jonnu Smith, Atlanta Falcons, at AJC.com. And that, you know, kind of tells you what kind of gentleman he is and how he's elated to be reunited with Arthur Smith. And he's one player that the coach could depend on to make a play. Although I wouldn't have gave him the jet sweep. Nate Landman led the way with 10 tackles. David Ayumato had a career-high 10. Katavius, I don't know if they credit him with an interception on that or a fumble. Let's look real quick on that. Katavius Street, one of the signees from picked him up from the Eagles. He started for Grady Jarrett. Didn't stick out like a sore thumb. Had 5 tackles. Tackle for loss. A fumble recover. They call that a fumble recover. Okay. In the press box, it could have been a pass or a fumble. So they knocked it off of him and he got it. All right. So, yeah, he didn't stick out, so you might be okay there. Caden Ellis had 9 tackles. Lorenzo Carter had 3. He's the one that scooped up the fumble and got it to the 1. Next time the defense is going to say, hey, man, we're going to need you to score on that one. That would take the pressure off of the offense. And Arnold Ebiketie, he forced that fumble, but he had 3 quarterback tackles, 1 quarterback hit, 1 sack, and he has 3.5 sacks this season. Jesse Bates finished with 8 tackles and 1 pass, and Richie Grant recorded 8 tackles and had a career-high 2 passes defense. So that's all our stats here. There's a couple more. We got Street. We covered that. Okay, Young Wei Koo was 4 of 4, including a 54-yarder, matching his career long, and he had 2 extra points, 14 points. So right now, he's the MVP. There you go. Now, let's hear from some of you all on our Twitter feed. Got a lot. This is all right. We got double the amount that we usually get here. Folks are not real happy. We'll try to we'll edit as best we can here. But right at the buzzer, I always put this up. I've been doing that this year. Vikings 31, Falcons 28. Leave your comments here for the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. Don't hold back, all right? That's the only rule we had. We have 145 comments. So what I'm going to do is try to take 2 from the end, 2 from the middle, and 2 from the very beginning. Got 47 likes on here. And so here we go with our podcast mailbag. Here we go from Erica Skybabe. She's a regular. Why did you draft Bijan and refuse to use him? Okay. Yeah, I don't think that's appropriate. We'll skip that one. We're going to skip all these fire and play calling ones, okay, because those are knee-jerk reactions. If you got something thoughtful to say, we're trying to go for that. Offense showed up. This is buried in glass. Offense showed up at the end and the defense couldn't hold. Yes, that's correct. That's football. Better offense with Ritter from the scoreboard and eye test. Yeah, once you start playing them, it goes back and forth. Todd Galante, Arthur Blank needs to stay off the field. Arthur Smith needs to... Okay, we're going to stay away from that. More handoffs to Bijan, more throws to Pitts. All right, let's move to the middle. Got the firing people, the play caller people. We're trying to find some good football people. On a brighter note, this is the last we will hear of Josh Dobbs until the Vikings cut him and another team resigns him to play against the lowly Falcons. Okay, that's not nice. We wish the best for Josh. Long grind he's been on to stick in the NFL. All right. Dobbs parachuted into Minnesota last week as the backup and showed us up at home in his backyard. Not a good look. The James Reese. All right. Let's move on. Try to get some people that jumped in there right away. We're going to get on out of here. Dirty Bird Conway. Why did we draft a running back? Okay, and here is the last one. And we got a brain fried gift from SpongeBob. All right. I wasted my breath. Run the ball. I've been saying it all game. All right. We're going to wrap up here at the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. That's it. People are pretty hot. The Falcons dropped the ugly one, 31-28. To Josh Dobbs, who came, basically came off the street, didn't know the offense was out there. Coaches called it real-time coaching. And we used to call that drawing up plays in the dirt. So whether, you want to put a good name on it or not, that's what happened today. They're drawing up plays in the dirt, moved down the field, scored the winning touchdown with 22 seconds left as the Falcons went down to 4-5. Still a lot of season left, a lot of things to fix. Can they get going? They got to stay positive right now. Switching the quarterback, some things got to get cleaned up. Can't have false starts in the ninth game of the season. Can't be lining up in the wrong formations. That's stuff that should have been taken care of, after game one or game two. So we saw all that today. So, they got work to do. They watch the film. They'll get it fixed or try to get it fixed. Some of the easy things to fix, and then work on the execution, holding on to the ball and not throwing it to the other team, which he did three times today, but they only came up with one. So I'm thinking because of those third down numbers and his comments that they're gonna stay with Taylor and get to the break and then come back. And if he gets a win, it's going to be real hard to go to Ritter in New Orleans against New Orleans with first place on the line. So that's where we're at here, looking to see how the Falcons match up against Arizona. Now, they can't lose to Arizona. That's going to that'll just throw the whole season upside down if they, after this one, they don't get right against the Cardinals, who are pretty clearly tanking for Caleb. But they might come. They came off their tanking mission earlier to beat Dallas. You don't need them to come off their tanking mission this week when you need a win. You need to, you basically need a scrimmage from the Cardinals where you get your offense going, get some sacks, get the defense and special teams together rolling into the New Orleans game. So with that, we're going to get out of here and ask you to have a great week. It's Monday. Holiday seasons are coming. Halloween was a blast. Next up is Thanksgiving. I hate those Christmas people that start jumping ahead to Christmas. Hey, we got Thanksgiving first. Then we can get on to Christmas. But hey, now maybe we'll see some good football here too down the stretch by the Falcons. So with that, hey, enjoy your preparations for the holidays and have a great rest of the week.